Blog Talk Radio.
Begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And you are tuned to Truth Ministry, so it's good to be here on another broadcast. So, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So it's a blessing to be able to declare the word of the Lord, to search the scriptures, as Jesus says, "For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Talking about the scriptures. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. So, good to be here. So we are continuing on, knowing our theme is the Godhead. And we've been talking about word power, so this is part 8 of word power. So last week we talked about the purpose of the Passover, so we know things that were happening in preparation for that. And then so this week we're going to move on in the 13th chapter of St. John, and then we'll see how everything goes in the event. What was leading up to the betrayal of Jesus by Judas. Because remember what we talked about on last week when he said that the woman that anointed Jesus' body with that very costly spikenard oil ointment. And Judas was saying that it could have been sold and given to the poor, but he didn't say that because he cared for the poor, but he said that because he was a thief and he had the bag. Somebody said that he was the treasurer, so he didn't care for the poor. So we're just going to be moving on into the Passover lamb and knowing that he is the lamb. That's what John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, you can find that in the first chapter of the book of St. John. That's where we read our intro, where we, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in that same chapter, it says, "The next day John seeth Jesus, and he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So the Lamb of God is the Passover Lamb. So we'd like to welcome all of our listeners, our Facebook listeners, our Twitter listeners, our Blog Talk friends and followers, and our LinkedIn connections, friends, and followers to Truth Ministry on today. So we are continuing on and knowing that the time that we have, a lot of times when you get going, you really don't have enough time to really adequately deal with the subject at hand. So much is going on here in the scriptures. So we know he talked about glorification in this 12th chapter of St. John on last week. Now, the week before last, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Last week, in the 12th chapter, it was 6 days before the Passover, and they came to Bethlehem. And so he, like I mentioned about the Martha had made a supper, and Mary took the pound of ointment and anointed his body against the day of his burial. So Judas made mention about it being sold, and so we go on what they call palm tree, palm branches and all. They call it Palm Sunday. And you go on through the scripture, and then he was saying he was going to be glorified, and then his soul was troubled, and he goes on to let them know that you believe on me, believe not on me, but him that sent me. So he's talking about the Father. He's talking about the Spirit, because he came as a sin sacrifice. And then as he goes on in the 48th verse of St. John 12, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So the word of God is the judge, like we made mention on last week. That's what's going to judge you in the last day, that the word that he has spoken. So we go on, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say, what I should speak. I know his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So you got to understand who he is, that he was the Lamb of God, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, that he is Jehovah, has become our salvation, at the name of Jesus. That is the salvation name. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we go on here in the 13th chapter of St. John. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So knowing they didn't really understand exactly who he was, even though they saw the miracles and everything he'd done, but he opened their understanding after he rose from the dead. He was on the earth for 40 days. So I don't want to forget to give the call-in number. Should you desire to call in, you have a question or you have a comment, you're welcome. Our guest call-in number, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So, Jesus' supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, notice this terminology here as we're going on. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. After he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus said, answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. For if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, for I know who I have chosen. But that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his hand against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus has thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples who Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, is it I? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. After the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. Some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things which we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. So we have to understand what is going on. So it was written about the son of perdition. He made mention of him before. None of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So some people would say things at times about Judas being saved. No, Judas couldn't be saved because Judas was the son of perdition. So we know it's the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But the foreknowledge of God, knowing everybody, is not going to be saved. Some people would rather do what they want to do. They're not going to give up things that they like to do. So they're putting it off. So we have a saying, and it's a true saying, says the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. So some people say that, you know, I'm going to get saved. Or if somebody have left, I'm going to go back. You know, I'm going to get restored or renewed. But question is, when? You can't keep putting it off. So the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So the voice of God is the word of God. God is not going to always strive with man. Just like he said way back in the Old Testament, my spirit shall not always strive with man. This even back before the flood. He's not going to always strive. So you can't just put it off. So he gave you space to repent. That's what he did. Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel, was in the new church ages that he's talking about in the book of the Revelation before you get to the Laodicean age. And he says, I gave her space to repent, and she repented not. So that spirit is still in the world, and that being one word, procrastination. So you can't keep putting it off. So you got to watch your heart. So that's an example. So the foreknowledge of God, knowing that Judas is the son of perdition, Judas is, couldn't be saved, no way, no how. And people need to search the scriptures to verify that. So Satan entered into three individuals. He entered into the serpent in the Garden of Eden. He entered into Judas, as we just read, and he will enter into the Antichrist, which is the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So it's the man of sin. He's going to enter into him. Second Thessalonians, the second chapter. So the mystery of iniquity doth already work on it. He who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed. So that is the son of perdition. It's actually the same title, but he is the man of sin, as the Antichrist. It's going to be the last one that he's going to enter into. As the scripture says, Satan entered in. Okay, so we just read here, so he then, having received the sop, went out immediately out. It was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. He was talking about going to the cross to shed his blood, to be the sin sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. But thou shalt follow me me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can not I follow thee now? A question. I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, cock shall not throw till thou hast denied me thrice. So in other words, three times. So we want to look at things that happen, being the him, Jesus being the Passover lamb, things that they used to do under the old covenant, in the Old Testament, they did sacrifices. So this was going to be, Jesus is going to put an end to these type of sacrifices, because he was becoming a high priest of good things to come by a new and living way. So in the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and of worldly sanctuary. There was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, the table of, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seats, which we cannot speak particular. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone every year, not without blood, when he had offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Now, you read back in the Old Testament, the high priest went in there once every year. They would put bells, pomegranates, what they would call them, on him, ropes they would tie on him. So if they didn't hear those bells, they could pull the high priest out. Because if he didn't go in the presence of God right, he had to offer for the sins for himself and then for the sins of the people. If he went in there, he wasn't right, then he would die. They couldn't go in there and get him out. They had the ropes on him. They had to pull him out. So this is what he's making reference to. Into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and then for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. I'll read that again. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in the which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, talking about the body, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And this is what they had to do under the old covenant. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is a question. For this cause, he's talking about Christ. He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first tabernacle, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament, a testament is a will. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So that's when people are beneficiaries on a insurance policy, they receive the money after the person dies. It's of no force while they're living. This is what this is saying. So it says, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the New Testament, which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. See, now the blood of Jesus is in the name of Jesus. That's why you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus. So, in Acts, the second chapter, when the people were pricked in their hearts, they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? Or what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So this is, you got to be, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So almost. But we're going to see as we go on here, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. That's the key word also in the book of the Hebrews, is better. So better covenant upon better promises. So we go, Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So he was the sacrifice. He was the God that received the sacrifice. So we go on here, nor yet that he should offer himself. Notice what he's saying here. This is so very important. Nor yet that he should offer himself often. As the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. So remember now, we just read, the high priest went alone into the Holy of Holies. So he put an end to this because he's only going to do it once. This is why the Bible said, if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, which means Christ is not going to go back to the cross and die again. We have forgiveness of sins. The true born-again believers, we confess our sins. 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that he has made provision for. So even in the book of Romans, he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So grace is not giving you, because of the grace of God, is not giving you a license to sin. So some people say, I choose to do this, I choose to do that. Yeah, you choose your own destiny. You choose life, or you can choose death. It's the same principle that he had in the Old Testament. Set before you life and good and death and evil. He said, choose. So it behooves us to choose life. So he goes on here. Let me read this again. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in the heaven itself. Now how can a man ascend up to heaven? Nobody could do that but Emmanuel, who is God himself. He was the sacrifice. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often. Notice those words. As the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He is the Christ. He is the sin offering. He is the Messiah. He is the one that came to give his life a ransom for many. So remember last week when we read about the Israelites, the veil that's on their heart, and we made mention about Moses when he went up there in the mount, stayed for 40 days and 40 nights, and God wrote the commandments with the finger of God on those two tablets. Moses came down, and Aaron had given the people permission to melt their earrings and all. They made molten calves, and Moses was angry with the people. He threw down those tablets and break them. He had to go back up there and write them himself. But when he came down, he had been with God, his face shone. He didn't wish that his face shone. In other words, the glory of God was on him. They couldn't even look on him. So he couldn't, he was in the face of God. So he had to put on a veil. When he talked to the children of Israel, when he talked to him, he took off the veil, talking about God when he talked to God. So God himself, this the Christ, he is the Lord himself. So then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So he's going to make the appearance, as we were making mention about on last week, the we call the catching away or the rapture of the church and the change of First Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of Michael the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And 1 Corinthians, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be all shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and we shall be changed. For this, the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this mortal shall put on immortality, the corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So he goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Now he's going back talking about the law. So, but then would they not have ceased to be offered, but because the worshipers, that the worshipers once purged, should have had no more conscience for sins. But in those sacrifices, there is remembrance again made of sins every year. So he goes on, he's making a point here. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, now he's going on here, he's talking about Jesus now. He says, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Remember how we made mention in the previous chapter about oftentimes he would have, you know, since the end of the world, keep offering himself. He don't do that. But this he did, the Hebrew writer said, once. Every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered once, one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. That's the place of authority. From henceforth expecting, till his enemies be made his footstool. You know, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. For after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure blood. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as so much the more as you see the day approaching. Here it is right here, what I said previously. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That simply means he can't go back and die again. He already died. A certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despiseth Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who have trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite the Spirit of grace. That's talking about somebody falling away. For we know him that hath said, vengeance is mine. Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. So he was the Passover lamb. Just give you that bit of information in the book of Hebrews, talking about a better way. We're going to get back to John here, what we were talking about here. So there are other things we really need to move on, because he's letting them know that he's going to go away in the 14th chapter of John, talking about don't let your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions, you know, abiding place. He is the house of God. Talking about Jesus himself, not talking about going to heaven to prepare a place. There's already a place prepared there. Then he goes on. He's talking about the Comforter. Many things he's letting them know, because he's going to be gone from them for 3 days before he rises from the dead. Then so he goes on that he's the true vine and they're friends, and in the 15th chapter of St. John. Then we go into the 16th chapter of St. John. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh when whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. So that's what Apostle Paul thought. He wasn't there doing the earthly ministry, but he was an apostle because he saw the Lord. That's one of the signs of being an apostle, that you had to see the Lord. Not only that, all the apostles were men. That's one time that he had all men. The 12 were men. These things will they do unto you, because they know not the Father nor me. So he's the self-same one. That's why he told Philip, believe me. Philip says, show us the Father, it will suffice us. He said, I've been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe me, Philip, that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. That's back in the 14th chapter of St. John. So we got to move on here. We don't want to go through all of this here. So these things will they do unto you, because they know not the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and some of you asking me, where goest thou? But because I said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Remember back in the 14th chapter, now here we are in the 16th chapter of St. John. He's talking of their trouble in their hearts. Still, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And this is the same thing that happens to a child of God that is Holy Ghost filled. Sometimes you go into the presence of people and they feel condemned. Because the Holy Ghost is in you, you haven't said a word. So at times I marvel at the way people do. It is crazy the way they do. They say, "Oh, you think you're better? You're holier than thou," and all that. I mean, where'd it come off? Where'd it get that from? People say the same thing. You haven't said nothing. You don't think you're better than nobody. They don't understand. That is, he, the Spirit of Truth, has come. He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So this gospel is a savior of life unto life and death unto death. Some people, they don't get saved. They don't realize the person who was with them tried to admonish them, tried to encourage them to get right with God, is going to be the very one that's going to judge them. It's going to be a witness against them in the day of judgment. Now, it's not God. It's the Spirit of God that is in the person, and God uses people. So we go on here, righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. A little while you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. Then they said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? That's a question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name. I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and I believe that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am coming to the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverbs. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things. Did you hear that statement? Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Now who knows all things? This is a question I'm proposing. Who knows all things but God himself? He's omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere in every place. And he's omnipotent. That means he has all power. So Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Remember, only believe. Remember, the worst sin in the whole world is unbelief. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. In other words, he's the Spirit, the eternal Spirit. He is the body. He is the house of God. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. See, now remember that this is it before his impending death. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Remember now, he is the Son of Man. He is going to be glorified. He is the Lamb that's going to take away the sin of the world. So this is what he's trying to give them comfort in. This is why he came, to give his life a ransom for many. He didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So these words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify that thy Son. So in other words, thy body, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. What is that? The image. Jesus Christ is the express image of his person. An image is what you see. Like you take a picture. That's not the person. That's the image of the person. So God prepared a body before the foundation of the world. He knew everything that was going to happen, the foreknowledge of God. So he said, remember the former things of old. I am God, and there is none else. There I am God, and there is none like me. This is Isaiah 46, 9, 10, 11. Declaring the end from the beginning, in ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. What is the pleasure? The good pleasure of his will. The book of Ephesians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In the book of Philippians, in the book of Ephesians, the church might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So that means coming in all directions and can be known. You got to be Holy Ghost filled to get that. You can't get the natural man. receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. I'm talking about the natural man, because they are spiritually discerned. So remember now, we're still talking about word power. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's powers in the words of Jesus. He is the Son of Man, and he is going to be glorified. So we go on here. So he said, I have manifest thy name unto the men that thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were. Thou gavest them me. They have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. This is the Lord's Prayer, incidentally, not Our Father which is in heaven. That's a model prayer. This is literally the Lord's Prayer. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them which thou hast given me, for thine are thine, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but that these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now remember, this is what we were talking about back in the Old Testament. No way in the world Judas could be saved, because it was written of him, he is the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And that's so important. God cannot lie. It was impossible for God to lie. In the 6th chapter of Hebrews, says, when he swear by no greater, he swear by himself. That means he swore alone. So, now come I to thee, that these things I speak in the world, they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So that's the same way it is with us now. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through thy truth, through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. That's talking about now, the church. So the apostles got the revelation of who Jesus was, the salvation. They were under the law in the Gospels. He called them out in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. The apostles tell you what to do to be saved. They knew, they got the revelation of the name of Jesus. They got the revelation of the prophecy of Joel. You're speaking another tongue or another language when you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Make no mistake about it. They all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and have loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love which wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So we have to continue on here about his crucifixion and everything. We're not going to be able to finish this up, but so we know the Gethsemane, the prayer. So when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden in the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Remember now, he's the deceiver. He's the betrayal. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? He asked the question. He knew what the answer was. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as they, as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. You imagine that? I'm talking about word power. Just those words, three words. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And as soon as Judas betrayed, he was with them, and as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. You tell me that's not power. Then asked he again, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into that sheath. The cup which my father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers and the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Remember, they had a high priest that went in once to offer the sacrifices. That was going to be done away with. And with his death, that's what we were showing you in Hebrews. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. We're going to end right there, and we'll pick it up on next time, because we're not going to be able to finish up, like I said, on today. This little hour of time is not going to be enough. So we'll see you on next time. We'll continue. God bless you. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.